We're going to start right on schedule. I have a few more slides today to work with. My name is Linda Milliken. Yesterday you heard both my husband and I. He might chime in today. We'll see what happens. He's still here. I'm a licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist. My supervisor has been Pastor Kelly Barnett. I'm also certified as a licensed chemical dependency counselor. I don't presume to be an addiction specialist. An addiction specialist would have some more certification. We'll see what the Lord has for me in the future. But I do see a lot of clients who are chemically addicted and trying to keep clean and sober. Let's start today with a prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. And I thought we could, in your own heart and mind, pray for those that you know are struggling with chemical issues, addiction issues. For this reason, we kneel before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We pray that out of your glorious riches, that you would strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And Lord, we pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ for us and for those we know who are struggling, Lord, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, and we pray would work in those that we love. To you, Lord, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, and all the people said, amen. This slide, today I'm going to speak to you about a Christian theology of addiction. Creation, fall, redemption, and a Christian counseling approach that I use in my practice, a biopsychosocial approach, biological, psychological, social approach to treating those who are addicted. If you could see this picture, you're free to come closer. These are what are called SPECT scans of a normal brain. God created each of us with a beautiful brain, even though we have imperfections. The colors you see on there are simply there because they're different sides of the brain. But that's what a perfect brain looks like. You see a couple little indentations. There's no holes in the brain, okay? Substance abuse and addiction damages the brain. This is a brain, a 38-year-old brain with 17 years of alcohol use. If you could see the holes in the brain there, that's pretty rough to look at, isn't it? Marijuana's impact on the brain. Back in the 1980s, when I was just graduating from high school, the potency of THC in marijuana was 4%. In 2012, it was nearly 15%. That means the marijuana that kids are getting a hold of is stronger, right? Here again is the normal brain, pictured in a SPECT scan. This is a 16-year-old with 2 years of abuse. What is a substance use disorder? According to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the fifth edition, the levels of severity are characterized as mild, moderate, and severe, with a recurrent of use of alcohol or drugs, with significant impairment to your health, maybe causing a disability, failure to meet major responsibilities at work, at school, at home, affecting your relationships. Good old Webster defines an addict as one who devotes or surrenders to something habitually or obsessively. It means to cause an addiction to a substance. I have a client him and his wife came to me for counseling initially, for marriage counseling. And then he dropped out, and his wife started coming to me as an individual. He dropped out when we started talking about substances. He had daily use of alcohol. I didn't know how bad it was. Usually what I would do in my practice is have my clients fill out a substance abuse assessment, and usually, as y'all probably know, there's lying involved. So people don't fully disclose how much they're doing or using. The wife, she probably had counseling with me for about 5 months, and she came in crying one day because her husband had been admitted to the hospital with heart failure. They told him that he needed to be a candidate for a heart replacement. That's how bad the alcohol use had gotten for him. So what had happened here? This fellow, he continued to use even though it was hurting his health. So what happens is use affects a person so much that the excessive drinking puts you at risk for developing the disorder. Okay, our genetics, our psychological state, our social environment all affect the possibility of us developing a substance abuse. Also, your personal conscience and beliefs. I think you might be surprised how many Christians come to me who are addicted to alcohol or drugs and they want help. They carry a lot of shame, you can imagine. But with a counselor and providing a safe place, they're able to talk about what's going on for them. So in order for someone to be diagnosed with a substance use disorder, they have to have problems controlling their intake of alcohol or drugs. The alcohol use continues even though problems continue, like my client who needs to have a heart replacement. The individual develops tolerance. The brain adjusts to the level of alcohol or drugs, and they need more and more to become intoxicated in order to medicate their pain. They develop continued risk-taking behavior, and if with a cessation of alcohol or drugs, there's withdrawal symptoms immediately. Moderate drinking. Well, first of all, let's say mild drinking. How much, what do you think mild drinking is characterized as? How many drinks a month? Anybody? What's mild drinking? Mild drinking is one or two. A glass of wine, a beer. You know, you might think, did I have anything to drink last month? I don't know, no, maybe not. Or maybe you don't believe in any drink at all. Moderate drinking is when women drink one drink a day and men drink two drinks a day. There are people who do that. They say, I want to relax. Well, if you're predisposed to an alcohol use disorder, that opens the gateway to continued alcohol use. And then what happens is somebody, to define heavy drinking, you would look at five or more drinks on the same occasion on each of five or more days, okay, or within the past 3 days. Now, I have folks that come to me who say, you know what, I can stay off alcohol for 30 days. I don't have an alcohol problem. So they do that, and then I said, what happens after 30 days? Well, I'll sit down and have a drink or two or three. I said, or four. Yeah, you know, I don't really count, but I can stay off alcohol for 30 days. The problem with that in our system of treating alcohol these days is many programs are 30-day programs. Well, most people can stay off alcohol and or drugs for 30 days. So my encouragement to people is you need to be in a more longer-term program, not just a 30-day program. Okay, what happens in the brain when someone becomes addicted to a substance? How a person's brain is changed by the alcohol abuse is that the body and the brain say, oh, I've had a glass of wine, I need to adjust. Oh, I've had two glasses of wine, I need to adjust. The brain develops a tolerance. The tolerance increases, the drinker becomes dependent on the substance. A pathological craving develops. The brain says, you know, I like how this feels. And what actually happens is our natural ability to feel good, which is characterized by the dopamine and norepinephrine chemicals in our brain, they shut down. And so when somebody stops drinking or stops using, that's why it takes a while for the natural feel-good chemicals to happen and be produced in the body. It takes time for that to happen again, and people feel the anxiety, they feel the depression. If you were to immediately stop drinking, it would cause a severe withdrawal when the body and the brain become dependent on that substance. Symptoms such as intense sweating and a racing heart happen. Anxiety increases, restlessness increases. I had a woman and her husband come to see me She wanted me pretty much to convince this man to stop using meth. He was in the office, he had sores on his body, and he was having intense, profuse sweating. But he tried to convince me I'm not using drugs. I can't do that. I can't change him. I can't cure him. He's got to come to a place where the alcohol and the drugs affect him so much that he cries out to God and says, I need help. They didn't come back. She came back. Marijuana use today, some of the words we use for marijuana are weed, pot, grass, bud, herb, ganja, and Mary Jane. I'll have a handout to give you at the end of the session. It's called Drug Lingo, and you can look at all those things here if you want to educate yourself on the words that people use for different drugs. THC is the chemical in marijuana that it becomes highly addictive and dangerous. It also can be seen concentrated in a resin called hashish, or a sticky black liquid known as hash oil. It's the most commonly used illicit drug in the United States. It can be smoked as a hand-rolled cigarette called a joint, and a pipe or water pipe called a bong. That's what we found in our son's room. As a blunt, which is a cigar that's hollowed out and filled with a mixture of marijuana and tobacco, it can be ingested by mixing leaves, the flowers, the stems, or seeds into food. I did not know that marijuana users used all parts of the plant. You can even brew it, the leaves, and make a tea out of it. Other substance use disorders that we see in practice are tobacco use disorder, cannabis use. Cannabis is another name for marijuana. And other stimulants such as cocaine, amphetamines, methamphetamines, and cocaine. Now, it might not be surprising to you that people and children as young as 12 years old would smoke a cigarette, right? Maybe you tried a cigarette at age 12. Maybe a little less surprising would be that kids as young as 12 would try a joint. But surprising to me is that kids as young as 12 would use cocaine. Now, I've told her this other substance use disorders. That means not that these 12-year-olds would just use. They have been diagnosed with the disorder. They have a disorder at 12 years old. They need help. Amphetamines and cocaine can be used by snorting. They can take it orally or intravenously. You've heard about the heroin that's being sold across the border, brought in from Mexico. Much of the heroin today is laced with something called fentanyl. Fentanyl is extremely dangerous. Police officers have found the needle stuck in an addict's vein, and they've died. That's how strong fentanyl is. Pretty serious stuff. K2 spice is another name for marijuana. I had a mother come in, the same mother whose husband needed a heart replacement. Graduation night in Temple, Texas, there were some girls handing out cookies. And this young lady tried a cookie. It was filled with K2 spice. She ended up going to the emergency room. She could have died from that cookie. Her mother says, you know, I don't think she knew that she was ingesting something with that in. We don't know. The verdict is out still on this young lady. We're praying for her. Another use disorder is called a hallucinogen disorder. An example would be LSD or natural substances such as mushrooms or peyote. What happens with hallucinations is it causes visual and audio hallucinations in the brain. People start seeing things, they start hearing things, they become paranoid, and a person experiences a detachment from oneself as if they're outside of their body, a detachment from other people. It's pretty scary to try to recover from something like that. They have a distortion in time and perception. They might think that they're in another decade, or they're in the future, and some people like that, but fortunately, a lot of people, that happens to them and they stop because it's so scary for them. Opioid use disorder is seen both in using oxycodone and hydrocodone after many surgeries, folks are given those. When I had a gum surgery and I was giving oxycodone for the pain, what it does is it masks the perception of pain. The pain is really there, but it's masking the pain. I think I stayed on that for maybe 2 days. I did not like that. However, this is huge among teenagers today. They sell their pain medication to others. Illegal drugs such as heroin, like I mentioned, laced with fentanyl. Heroin can be snorted and injected. And what's happening is it's cheaper than hydrocodone these days. So people are getting a hold of the heroin and that is laced with fentanyl. And we're seeing a lot of deaths as a result of it. Medical cannabis is the big question these days. It's been legalized in 23 states, including the District of Columbia. Marijuana has been around for a long time. In the 1850s, THC-based drugs were approved by the FDA for pain and nausea. What was interesting, though, is that the pharmaceutical regulations were okayed in some states, but it was also labeled as poison. So even back in the 1850s, there was this contradiction, you know, in do we use marijuana, do we not use it? So the FDA states that a drug must have a well-defined and measurable ingredient in one unit. However, cannabis or marijuana has several different ingredients in one unit, so there's no way to measure it. So when somebody's using it for medicinal purposes, they really do not know how strong it is. Addiction is a moral problem, wouldn't you say? It's a moral problem. In the Christian worldview, anything that takes the place of God is immoral. It becomes an idol. Once someone becomes an addict, they have lost their moral will and you become what you worship. So think about that as in terms of addiction. People become addicted to pornography and their love relationships with their wives and husbands deteriorate. People become addicted to fashion. And a woman or a man looks in the mirror all day long and they become vain, right? It's all about me. What else do people become addicted to? Things? Pardon? Gambling. I had a client come to me who had a gambling problem. And this man, he was a pharmacist. He and his wife were pharmacists. And over the 20 years that they had been married, he had lost tens of thousands of dollars because he was addicted to the high of gambling. He'd leave Texas, he'd go to Louisiana, and he really wanted help. Now, as a Christian counselor, this man was from another country. He didn't believe in God or Jesus. So how do I help him? I said, well, the first step you need to do is go to a GA group, a Gamblers Anonymous group. So he drove to Austin. He was faithful. He attended that group on a weekly basis. And what he did to help himself is he made a copy of the Gamblers Anonymous 12 steps and brought it back with him. And he said, Linda, this is what I'm doing every day is I'm reading through these. Do you think that's going to help me? I thought, yeah, that's going to help you. Because the first step is admitting your powerlessness over the chemical or the addiction. That's true, right? We are powerless over our sin. It's God's grace and peace that help us. I couldn't preach at this fellow, but I can say, yes, keep reading those steps. So we explored for a while, what does a higher power mean to you? And he gave me some different answers. His parents were Hindu in background, so he saw them praying every day as good Hindus back in their country of origin. He had, there were statues in their home, but he said, you know, he didn't see much life from that. Well, his wife was a good Catholic, and she was a born-again Christian. She came in for some counseling with him, and then I could see why he was having trouble, unfortunately. She needed to come to a place where she was more respectful of him, but she was so flooded by his behavior, it was hard for her to become self-controlled, you know. So what happened over time, he saw me for about 5 or 6 months, and he stopped coming. And just before he had stopped coming, I said to him, I'm just going to say this to you. We've met every Friday for 5 months, and you've faithfully gone to your support group in Austin. And as a Christian, I'm going to tell you what I believe, that you cannot get over your gambling addiction until you repent and say, God, I'm a sinner, I need help. I said, now I know that's not a part of your upbringing, and I know that your wife comes to you from that perspective, but I have to offer that to you, that is the answer to your addiction. Now, he didn't stop coming to me because of what I said to him. He felt like he had the tools to maintain sobriety over his gambling addiction. I don't know to this day. I know that this family is still in the community and they're still pharmacists, so I don't know what's going on for him. But I took the opportunity after I had gained rapport with him to tell him the truth. Would I lose my license? I don't think so. He trusted me, and we got to a place where we could talk about, you know, the faith perspective. I could be one person along the way that God uses to help a person overcome their substance abuse or addiction, and hopefully I made a difference in his life. So you become what you worship, right? That's what happens in the brain. Our son told us yesterday, we had told you that he was diagnosed with stimulant use disorder, substance use disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and a defiant disorder, oppositional defiant disorder. I said, Peter, what were you thinking about in this time that you were addicted to drugs and alcohol? And he said, well, my OCD, I just obsessed about drugs all the time. How was I going to get my next drug? I could see he had pawned some of his personal items at home. When he recommitted his life to the Lord and he got on some medication to help him for a time, he was able to let go of the obsession. But what was most important for him is that he repented. He said, God, I need help. And the loving kindness of others, through people, God's loving kindness reached into his life. Now, I have a friend that lives in the community in the Temple Harker Heights area. Her son, at about 8 or 9, he started exhibiting some obsessive compulsive tendencies, but to the point where he could not cope or go to school. She saw a specialist in Dallas and started giving him some medication on a daily basis from 6 to 8 weeks, and it reversed the OCD tendencies for this young man. We didn't have awareness of that sort of thing that's out there. I don't know everything that was going on for him, and I'm not a medical doctor, but this young man, his behaviors reversed. So that's just a piece of information. If you have somebody who's struggling, I can refer you to the specialist in Dallas. Our son is functioning well now. I would not say he has obsessive-compulsive disorder anymore. He can obsess about things, and he recognizes when he starts to obsess about things. But he's not where he was at in his developing mind as an adolescent. It's said today in research that women, now this is kind of interesting, women's brains are fully matured at age 25. Men's brains are fully matured, that used to be 25, but now it's age 28. So what does that mean, ladies? You need to marry an older man, otherwise. So, although my husband, I'm 10 months older than him, so it didn't apply to me, or to us. But he was a great example to me of a mature person. So the moral law is broken, right? God says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, as Christians, you know what? That doesn't work when you speak to an addict. If you just say, stop it. Just stop using. Pull up your bootstraps. Just stop it. You're worshiping another idol. It's not going to work. You have to help that person biologically, psychologically, socially, and spiritually, and sometimes financially. So some of us are more prone to addiction because of our backgrounds. If we did what's called in my practice a family genogram, it's like a family tree. I could look on my husband's side and we could see the addictions on his side. We could look on my side and see the addictions on my side, both my parents and their parents. My mother's father was an alcoholic. She was the youngest of four kids. She grew up in North Dakota during the Great Depression. 1925 was her birth date. She had two older brothers and an older sister. She watched her mom die when she was 5 years old. Her mom was pregnant with their fifth child and died from pneumonia. So my mother grew up in this rural household with her father as an alcoholic, making meals for people. She went to school through the eighth grade, and she functioned really well. She didn't become an alcoholic. But imagine that, right? The influences on her. So were there behaviors that she handed down to me and which we handed down to our son? Possibly. Rescuing, I'll talk more about that on tomorrow. I'll talk more about that. What behaviors do we learn from our parents that might cause us to enable others to drink or smoke? So, but ultimately, it's the power of sin that renders us powerless over the addiction. We cannot do it without God. Ephesians chapter 3. It's God who works in us immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. It's He that does that. It's He that calls out to us. Yes, you have to treat the person biologically. Maybe the brain is predisposed to alcohol or drugs. You have to treat them from these different perspectives. They have to be in a better social environment. Bad company corrupts a good character. It just does. Right? But the good news is that God still loves the addict. His loving kindness leads the addict to repentance. He can heal the addict. The good news is that given the proper conditions, the brain can heal from addiction. I believe that. We don't have to live with the brain that we have. Even those severely influenced brains that have fallen because of the substance abuse and addiction, the damages to the brain can heal. Dr. Daniel Amen is a board-certified psychiatrist and child psychiatrist. You can go to Amen clinics like Our Father Who Art in Heaven. Thy will be done, amen, right? Amenclinics.org. And you can look up SPECT scans, and you can look up the treatments that they do in their clinics. There's five or six around the United States. The brain can heal given the proper nutrients, etc. It can heal. That's the good news. If our legs and arms can heal when they're broken, can't God heal the brain? I believe He can. From a biopsychosocial approach, God can heal the brain. Do I have one more slide? I sure do. Matthew chapter 22, God calls us to love Him with all our hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Our son, once he was treated for his addiction and he was clean and sober for a period of time, he could start loving others and understand and experience God's love better. So in AA or NA or Celebrate Recovery is a Christian version of the AA 12-step recovery model. Addicts are encouraged to, once they are clean and sober, to start sponsoring other people. What are they doing? They're loving their neighbors as themselves. They're obeying the greatest commandment. I have hope for people who have fallen prey to addiction. Our son, God is using him in amazing ways. I told the crowd yesterday that they graduated, him and his wife-to-be had graduated from the University of North Dakota State University in Fargo. Then they got married, and then they went to India. And they spent 4 years in India as music educators at an international boarding school. one of those trips, my husband and I and my sister and her husband went over on one trip to visit them. And then a second trip when he was deployed, I took my oldest daughter and we went to India. And our son Peter was asked to lead the chapel services for Woodstock International Boarding School. Isn't that interesting? That's the name of the school. You know? Who would ever think? And we were standing in this big auditorium. The president of the school is a Christian right now, and yet there are Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists that attend the school, and they can still have chapel services. It's amazing. Peter was asked to lead the chapel band. It was a requirement for everyone to go to chapel. They sang a lot of contemporary Christian worship songs. Some of the words they changed sometimes, but Jesus was still mentioned. And I had tears in my eyes. How long had it been? Maybe at that point it had been about 6-7 years since he had been clean and sober. And I thought, Lord, look at what you're doing. And I just cried. I took some videos of it. And I thought, there is our son. He's leading worship. Look what you have done. He's an influence to the staff here and the teenagers that are going to this school. So God brings redemption. He graduated from the university. His mind is brilliant. His mind is functioning well. There was a time when it wasn't. And so God's redemption for addicts is to bring health and healing and for us to walk through that with them. I'm going to end our talk for today. We have a few minutes. How much time do we have? We have about 10 minutes, and I'm going to open up this time for questions. I don't presume to be a specialist on addictions. I've had experience. I'd have to have more certifications. So any questions, any thoughts, anything you want to share? Yes?
I'm sure there's people with kids.
What about aerosols? What about inhalants? How much have I dealt with that? I've had a few teenagers come in. Whose parents had said that they were sniffing aerosols or huffing. Thank you, Maury. They were huffing it. And it's interesting, we have aerosol cans. We probably need to remove those in our bathrooms. They wanted to use the bathroom, and I thought about that. I thought, oh my gosh, they want to use the bathroom. So I took them to a different bathroom that didn't have it in. I have not had a lot of kids in that situation. But kids will become desperate, won't they?
I didn't have cooking spray anything in my house for
2 years. Wow. So
my son was 11 when he started that. He's 17 now.
Okay.
So it just was one thing that I
Yeah.
People don't think of hairspray.
That's true. Fingernail polish remover. There's some girls that I had some teenage girls in. We talked about that some. I had three cousins that came in, but we were talking more about having a good picker and not dating guys that were, you know, jerks is what I called them. Don't let the jerks get the best of you. But so she's saying her son at age 11 started huffing different aerosols. Cooking spray was the first one? Cooking? Yeah.
That was just one thing that never clicked in my brain to get rid of.
Yeah. Okay. Pardon?
The keyboard cleaner.
Oh, keyboard cleaner too. So. I'm sorry. This man here said he lost a nephew to keyboard cleaner. Keyboard cleaner. I haven't heard that one before. Yes?
So I work at a school that's mostly Christian kids.
Okay, so the question is, what about video games and social media? Can we give any advice to that? I can say two things, and we can talk about that another day, too. It's recommended that kids, babies, not until they're 2 years old that you allow them to look at media because of how the brain is developing. I see little babies and their parents, you know, giving them their cell phone. Maybe you do that. I'm not trying to cause guilt or shame, but just consider using something else. So I worked with a family and told them they were going on vacation, and their greatest fear was, this is a Christian family, was that their kids were going to be on their phones all the time. And I said, whoa, y'all, use your authority. Say, you know what? We're not taking our phones to Disney World. They're going to stay in the hotel, and y'all are going to be okay. It was one of the best things they ever did, just implementing that boundary. Okay? Anybody else? Yes? I think so. In the next DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, that disorder is going to be a disorder that's listed in there. So what happens, again, developmentally, a kid's brain is maturing. Whatever they put into their brain is going to affect their brain. It's not going to light up as well, right, if you're consistently looking at a screen. Anybody else? Marijuana or hard drugs? Yes, sir?
Hemp oil.
Sir? Hemp oil.
My sister is an RN. Uh-huh. A couple of years ago. And she's been prescribed that as a sleeping aid, one drop on her tongue, and she gets a good night's sleep.
Ooh, okay. So this man here has said that her sister, your sister, lost her husband, and she was having trouble sleeping, and she was prescribed hemp oil. I guess I wouldn't do that. It's part of marijuana. We saw the brain, right? I have clients who come to me and say, well, I smoke a joint before I go to sleep to relax and fall asleep. I said, really? Okay. Well, in the morning, how do you feel? Well, a little bit depressed, so then I just drink a lot of coffee. But what's happening for them is it's okay for them because it's been legalized in other states. But I'm thinking, you know, it's not legalized in Texas, and yet you're smoking it at night to fall asleep. There's other things you can do to fall asleep, right? There is. Anybody else? Yes, sir?
I used to be a major caffeine.
You did? Okay, so this young man is saying, the reason I'm repeating this is because it's being taped, okay? So you used to drink a lot of caffeine, multiple energy drinks a day, you're saying?
And I think the thing that got me to stop is I started having heart palpitations.
Ah.
It had me afraid, like I was going to have a heart attack or something.
Okay, so he said he started having heart palpitations and it scared you. And so you stopped. But how did you stop?
Well, the first few days were rough, but usually, like after the third day, it just gets easier.
Okay, after the third day, he said it gets easier to stop drinking specifically the energy drinks. Did you stop first? Or both? Any more caffeine at all? Yeah.
I drink it nearly on the level that I used to.
Okay, so you don't drink it like you used to. You drink some caffeine and maybe an energy drink every now and then. Okay, so you're able to limit your use. Now, some people can't do that. They have to do all or nothing. I can't even touch that, right? But you're able to limit your use, and then you have your girlfriend or your girlfriend is there to say, hey, you know, maybe you're drinking too much. However, she can't change you, you know. Your girlfriend can't change you. She can't cure you. It's up to you, right? She didn't cause it, even though maybe you're saying she did. I'm kidding. No. Okay. Yeah, that's good for you that you were able to do that. I started drinking caffeine when I was in my 40s, and I can drink 2 cups now, but I could see how I would want to drink more, because what does it do for me? It just makes me very excited, and I can talk about anything, and I can run 5 miles if I wanted to. I could, seriously, but then you know what happens? Later in the day, there's just a crash. So I limit myself to caffeine, too. My husband got me started. I'll blame him. Yep, it's all about blaming. No. We need to wrap this up. We got a couple more minutes. Anybody?
When the kids are saying they're
Vaping. Vaping, yes. When the kids are say they're vaping, what does that mean? Pardon? Somebody said something? Electronic cigarettes. Thank you. That's what that's about. Some people think, you know, that there's less nicotine in vape. I'm not sure. I haven't researched that enough. I had a client ask me one time, do you mind if I vape? And that was the first time I'd heard of that. And I said, vape? What is vape? And so he showed me what that was. But he couldn't vape because it wasn't allowed in the facility I was in. You know, there's moisture. Can somebody answer that question better than me? What's involved in a vaping instrument?
Is it illegal?
Is it illegal?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do anything you want with that. You can put anything in there. And then, you know, folks don't know. You might be, it might just be, they might think you're just using nicotine, right? Yeah. Okay, one more question. Anybody? Okay, Maury, you want to say something? You want to use my mic?
Can I have one more question?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so the question is, do you find that kids who have ADD are more prone to self-medicate? Yes, because it helps them. They think it helps them focus. And it might for a minute, but over time they're going to lose that, the good sensation. Yes? Can it start with Ritalin? I guess each person needs to answer that. Can it start with Ritalin? I know two doctors who just groaned and wrestled with whether or not they would put their son on Ritalin. I taught this young man piano, and it changed his life. So, yeah, yes, for the better. He could focus, and he could concentrate in school. So these were two doctors who are Christians. I don't know if he's still using it. Sometimes kids, as the brain gets matured, they can get off Ritalin or Adderall. Is there an adverse effect? You know, I'm not going to say yes or no. Again, it just depends on the person. What does that person's brain look like? What's the biological tendency? You know, each person is different. So I don't think I can say yes. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be safe, I think. I'm just trying to speak truth, okay? Maury, you had one more thing to say?
So a person can become addicted to anything. We don't even know all the things that have yet to be invented that people will be addicted to. But I think the Christian theology for today helps us to frame a person's addiction. Creation, they were created good and beautiful and wonderful. Fall, something has gotten a hold of them, and they've chosen to worship that and to love it more than God. And then there's the hope of redemption. So as Linda said, when a person is in their addiction, they don't want to hear that. Mm-mm. They're not interested in your theological framework because they're in denial and they want to push away everything that would hold them accountable to truth. But it's important for us as family members who are supporting our loved ones to have a framework so that we have a strong foundation to stand on, and we can know, we can say to them, I love you because you were created beautiful and wonderful and awesome. I love you, but I don't love the sin that you're participating in. I don't love what it's doing to you. I don't love how you've replaced God with this idol in your life. But I have hope that God's grace will reach you when you hit bottom, when you're ready to repent and leave that behind and turn back to God. So this Christian theology that we are all holding on to is an important framework as we come alongside of our loved ones who are addicted to whatever it is. I'm sure that when they first started this camp, nobody there even conceived of smartphones and video games. But at that time, alcohol was a problem, right? So there were probably people with alcohol addictions. So we don't always, we're not able to say what the future will hold and how people will have addictions. But I think that this theological framework will last. The person mm-hmm. is created good. God loves them. They're fallen just like our first parents, Adam and Eve, because they love something more than God. But there's the hope and the promise of redemption through mm-hmm. Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, with that, let's have a closing prayer. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here this morning. It's no accident that they are here, Lord. I thank you for your love for them. Lord, we mourn with those who have lost loved ones to addiction. Dear God, we don't know why some lives have been taken and some others spared. What we do know, Lord, is that you're going to use these things in our lives to help other people. We might be one person that steps into a life for such a time as this. Lord, give us hope. Work in us immeasurably more than you can even ask or imagine. My greatest prayer is that your loving kindness would lead those in our lives who are addicted or prone to addiction, first of all, from going in that direction, and second of all, that you would bring deliverance and healing. That the greatest thing that we can offer them is love. May your will be done in our lives and in those we love, Lord. We kneel before the Father in heaven and ask you, in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.